Welcome to another episode of the Mighty Morphin Podcast Rangers. As always, I'm your host, Adam. And with I almost screwed that up.
Well, you can't do it when you laugh.
I can't even do it anymore. And with me is my co-host, Stephen. Stephen, how's it going?
All right, Adam. It came out as always. Isn't there only been one episode of this podcast?
Yeah, it's only one episode.
Hey, it'll stay one episode after this.
You've always been with me since the first episode, so there we go.
Yeah, I guess so, yeah.
Technically, I'm correct, damn it.
I'll let you off.
Listen, don't correct the Zordon of the show.
Reed is escaped.
Yeah.
That's my impression of him.
We're back for episode two. It's been a long while, but we'll try to be... less infrequent as we go forward, right? Just schedule.
Well, let's be honest. It started off; it was just going to be a one-off, and then it turned into us.
And then it morphed into a monthly to bi-monthly.
It's just meant to be, wasn't it? Yeah,
exactly.
And you know, Adam was thinking, I ain't got enough podcasts, so I'll start one more.
Yeah, pretty much. I like to torture myself with more podcasts and more.
You're more stretched than plastic, man.
Yeah, well, hey, I got him. I got Elongated Man and Mr. Fantastic all beat, so they can all, you know what. So this is episode two, and the main topic of conversation is going to be reviewing the first two ever episodes of Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. But before that, let's talk a little bit of news. So, Stephen, we've known for a little bit now, a couple of months at least, that I think it was early in 2020 when they announced this, right?
I think it was before everything went to crap.
Just not much before, like maybe a month or so.
Yeah, it was very close.
Where it was announced that there will be a new Power Rangers movie that is not a sequel to the 2017 iteration.
Which is a kind of a shame a little bit, but at the same time, it's understandable.
Absolutely, yeah. I think if it had stayed with Lionsgate, and also, gotta remember, that movie occurred before the Hasbro purchase. And, you know, as we talked on the DC, on our DC shows, whenever one big company purchases another, you know, changes are made to reflect the desire of the new of the new ownership. So the minute Hasbro came in, even if the film rights had stayed at Lionsgate, I think we would have got a new cast of Rangers and a new continuity, just because it's Hasbro's baby now. They don't want to be associated with you know, something that they were saddled with previously.
Yeah. Well, isn't the series gonna go on like a hiatus? Like,
well, we don't know. We don't know exactly what it means for the live action series. But what? And this was a report, now that Stephen brought it up, from the Illuminati, that says that Hasbro is going to end their relationship with, I think it's Toei, the Japanese company that basically created the Super Sentai, which is what Mighty Morphin Power Rangers and all other Power Rangers incarnations are based. So what that means is that, because what would happen is when they produce Power Rangers for American TV, they take, you know, action footage of the Rangers in their suits with the Zords, predominantly from the Super Sentai footage, and then complement it with footage of the actors for the North American show. So basically, the Super Sentai footage is no longer going to be part of the equation for Hasbro. So that's all we basically truly know from this report. So what that basically, where that basically leaves us is two places. One, it just means that we'll see, you know, a fully fledged produced Hasbro live action series down the line. Or they could go an avenue that they've never done before with the Power Rangers brand, and I'm surprised they've never done it, is animation.
Hmm. That'd be interesting, actually.
Like, Steven, imagine, and I know you haven't read them yet, and you should.
That's what I've got to imagine. So.
Yeah. But I think that an animated series based on the Boom Studios comic for Power Rangers would be fantastic.
You're right. It's a bit strange they've never done it when you think about it. With such a brand as Power Rangers. I mean, I was going to say it to you as well. I think it's really strange that they sold it to Hasbro. I mean, I don't understand why. Was it because the film didn't do that well? Or was it nothing to do with the film? Was it just, were they just tired? Were they like, right, we've done all we can with this product.
Maybe Saban is done with it. But then again, you know, like...
Did he get enough record? I mean, again, George Lucas said he'd never sell Star Wars and he didn't, and didn't he? So...
Right. But I think in the long run, I think the Power Rangers franchise is going to be better off in the hands of a giant like Hasbro.
Yeah, and it probably needs freshening up, doesn't it? Like a new... You always need a new, like, set of eyes on everything, don't you, eventually? Just the way things go.
So I think the combination of Hasbro doing an animated series and live action movies for the foreseeable future is the way to go.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah,
and
which would make sense ending the TV series like the live action one. And I'm going to say this now, right? I mean, obviously we're huge fans of the original Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, not so much the later incarnations, but.
Well,
kind of almost like, kind of feel like everything that probably could have been done with it's been done with it now. So, you know, give it a rest and then people will give people a chance to miss it. And then, you know, new kids. And it's like you could even do if you wanted, because, you know, this product can be done. I mean, the 2017 film may have not done that well, but it proved that you could do it, Power Rangers, in a more serious way as well. So there are like layers to how you can do Power Rangers, and you know, maybe they could do something a little bit more like maybe like a CW superhero show if they are going to bring it back for TV, I mean, and do something a little bit more like that. You get what I mean, though?
Yeah,
almost like if you watch Sabrina the Teenage Witch, then watch the new Sabrina, the light night and day out there.
Oh, they're two. It's the same.
I mean, maybe not go that far, but you get what I'm saying.
It's the same brand, it's the same brand name, but it's two different. Yeah. But like, okay, so here's an example. So, like, the comics are heavily rooted in the Mighty Morphin era, right? And let's be honest. I think that in terms of sales of merchandise and overall popularity, when people think of Power Rangers, that's what they think of.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. And Adam, can I ask you, those comics, obviously, because you've read them, what, you know, the series is quite corny and cheesy, and it was aimed at kids. What is the comic book like? Is the comic book aimed at a different audience,
There's a little bit of that. There's always going to be a little bit of that cheese corniness factor, because...
Yeah, there is anyway.
We're talking about, I mean, that's part of the brand. But I think the comic works because it gives you that nostalgic feel because you've watched the show and you know these characters. But at the same time, it does feel more like the superhero fair that we're reading in comic books right now.
So what would you compare it to, anything tonally? Is there anything you can think of to compare it to, that kind of... Do you get what I'm saying?
I guess it's kind of got... That. Arrowverse kind of vibe. If that makes sense.
Yeah, no. So that's like, exactly where my mind is going with it. In all honesty.
So basically, it's kind of like, okay, if I had to compare the tone to like a TV show, it's closer in tune to The Flash.
That's what I was thinking, yeah.
So there is some humor, but there's also a mix of, right, seriousness.
Yeah.
Like, if you saw, like, if you read, here's an example. All you got to do is read Shattered Grid, you know, where they introduce Draken, which is, you know, an evil version of Tommy. Yeah. Like, some serious stuff goes down there.
Yeah.
That you probably wouldn't see in the same manner on the original show.
And that's kind of what I think maybe they need to do in the next incarnation when they do bring it back to TV. Because it'll come back to TV eventually.
Oh, of course. But I think, yeah, like I said, I think animation is fertile ground because they've never done it.
I think that's a fantastic idea.
And because the comics have gone largely to the Mighty Morphin era, I think whatever Hasbro does is going to stick in that era as well. Case in point, back to the movie. So the movie is said to be, it's going to involve a time travel element where the current set of Power Rangers is thrust back in time to the 90s and interacts with the 90s Power Rangers team.
And
together they have to work to get the modern day Rangers back home. It's been described as a kind of like a Back to the Future scenario, which I think is a great idea.
Because you almost give, even though it won't be the original actors, you almost give the new Power Rangers that kind of that rub, almost like in wrestling where the older generation wrestler puts over the new generation wrestler, that kind of thing, and you have that handover. That handing over of the torch is probably what it's trying to look for.
Yeah.
Something along those lines.
Right, exactly. But you know, I'm a sucker for time travel stories and
Me too. Yeah.
As soon as I heard that, I'm like, "Oh, that's fascinating."
Yeah. I like that. I love time travel.
And then, you know, there's a person online, Ryan Unicorn.
Yes.
He's not let's say a traditional scooper in that kind of sense. Like, that's not what he does for a living. He's actually making a documentary about George Miller's failed Justice League project.
Is it?
Right. Spoilers.
Happy about that.
Yeah, and but he does hear things from his connections in the business, and to give you a kind of primer, he was the one who first put it out into the universe that Robert Pattinson was being looked at for the role of Batman in Matt Reeves's The Batman.
And he was right.
So that gives you an indication of you know, what he knows and what he hears. And he's also heard that rumblings of a Brandon Routh-led Superman Kingdom Come series on HBO Max, which I hope comes to fruition. But that's not what this podcast is about. In relation to Power Rangers, he's heard that there is an actor being discussed for a role in the film. And do you have the name of the actor, Stephen?
I was just getting up. Well, it's funny because the actor who is in Cobra Kai.
Yeah.
And before I read this Ryan Unicorn thing, I'm watching Cobra Kai, which I'd already seen, you know, season one. But I'm watching season two and I'm thinking, this tone of this show, with the it does have comedy, it does have action, it does have
there's an element of cheese too, though, because you know.
Yeah, but not in a way where it makes you like roll your eyes. It's kind of cute, if that makes sense. I was thinking the tone of Cobra Kai is exactly what would be perfect, though. I think it would be the sweet spot for a Power Rangers movie or even a new series, because it's got that balance, which I think the 2017 film, which I'm a big fan of and I loved it, didn't have. It was a bit too serious. I think you need to hit that sweet spot.
Yeah, they went total Batman Begins with
yeah, of course they did, yeah, which was a lot of films did it. I mean, Amazing Spider-Man pretty much did the same thing, didn't it, and stuff as well, you know, this whole Batman Begins approach to, I mean, it happened to Bond, did it, you know, everyone just kind of jumped on that bandwagon and it's been good. It's probably still going now because the film's still doing now, but I think they alienated the Power Rangers audience and they didn't bring in a new audience, so they need to hit that sweet spot. And for me, the tone of Cobra Kai, I'm not saying rip off Cobra Kai, but the tone of Cobra Kai is exactly what they need. Like, you know, the characters are believable, but they still have like moments that make you laugh, and you know, you laugh with them, you cry with them, all this sort of stuff. The actor is Tana Buchanan. He plays Robbie in Cobra Kai.
Yeah.
And I've got to admit, you look at him and he looks like a Power Ranger. It sounds stupid.
Yeah. But
he looks like that actor, you know, like, you know, Jason David Frank or Austin St. John. He has that kind of look about him that they've got, that kind of boyish. And as we know, he can do karate, so...
Right. Well, yeah, exactly. Yeah. So he's got it, you know.
You could literally just get the Cobra Kai cast, couldn't you?
But I wonder if, because of the time travel element, I wonder if it's going to be the Time Force Rangers meeting the Mighty Morphin.
Yes. That could work really well.
Because if you already have the Time Force Rangers in the universe,
yeah,
then why not? Recast those characters, but
yeah,
use that team.
I mean, what about a story where? Because we know that Rita and Lord Zedd have got a son in the series. What if it's a story where they're after him and he time travels back to this time?
I could see that.
They follow him back.
By the way, yeah, I could see
could
that.
Could work, couldn't it, something like
that. And by the way, I mentioned Time Force specific. Well, for two reasons. One, because it would make sense to use them, given that, you know, their whole shit was time travel, you know?
Yeah.
and that's what we're dealing with here.
It's not a big leap to make, is it really? It
kind of it's like one plus one. Sense, yeah. Like one plus one equals two.
Yeah.
But also, because I've just recently recalled that I have to say that the Pink Ranger from Power Rangers Time Force, played by Aaron Cahill. Steven, I just want to point out, and maybe the listeners of this podcast don't know about what I'm about to say, but she's on the list. for the most part, I throughout the incarnations, I've thought most of the Pink Rangers are smoking hot. I just want to put that out there. And leave that there for now. But yeah, so that was my motivation for mentioning the Time Force, aside from the fact that it makes sense. But yeah, if they want to cast Tanner Buchanan as a Power Ranger, they have my seal of approval, but I don't think Paramount or Hasbro are going to ask me. but that's another thing. I like the fact Paramount is now also partnering with Hasbro for the movies, because I think having the combo of those two big entities,
yeah, they're a big studio, not unlike
it's a better fit than Lionsgate, because Lionsgate is more known for you know, smaller budget indie fare.
And they, yeah, they don't like heavily promote either.
They don't have the marketing machine.
No.
That Hasbro and Paramount do. And I think the combination will be very beneficial to Power Rangers.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I'm on board if Tanner Buchanan does get cast. Well, consider me hyped about that. Would you be on board?
It feels like an obvious casting, and obvious castings don't always happen. But this feels like one that I could see happening.
Yeah.
And I think it'd be fantastic. And, you know, I know you don't want to get all the Cobra Kai cast members, but the actor who plays Miguel would make a fantastic Ranger, you know, as well, you know.
Yeah, and I think you could also get the actress that plays Daniel LaRusso's daughter in there as well.
Absolutely, yeah.
So take those three, and then everybody else cast accordingly.
I mean, I guess the question is, the new Rangers and the old Rangers, what are they going to be the same age because they're time traveling, or are they going to be...
That we have no idea.
Because if they do it, and it is what you suggest, and it's almost like a mentoring, and then they pass the torch, the older Rangers kind of have to be a little bit older for it to work. You couldn't have them the same age, and then they... Because the handover would have to be the slightly older Ranger passing down to the younger Ranger. So I guess, well, like you say, we don't know anything about the plot, though. But the plan is for it to be some sort of time travel.
We know nothing beyond what we've told you. So, but it's an exciting, I get Back to the Future meets Days of Future Past vibes, and if that's what they're going for,
yeah,
sign me up.
I love both those movies, so sign me up.
Because a report from the Illuminati also said that in the movie, the continuity of the Power Rangers so far counts.
So they're going to do a Star Trek, as in a J.J. Abrams Star Trek, and because that's what he did.
If that report is believed, I mean, maybe.
Because obviously in that, the history that existed.
And that begs the question, do you potentially bring back the original cast?
I just don't know. I mean, obviously, it depends which iteration as well.
Jason David Frank is still doing it, so
bring him back, and he's still in fantastic shape. And he's got a lot better now.
Oh, of course. And you could always also, I think she'd do it. Pink Ranger, Amy Jo Johnson. I think you could coax her back. But then I think you'd probably have to go with the three Transference Rangers more so than, you'd have to, because
I don't mind, but I'd rather than bring back the original Red Ranger, because
You couldn't get Trini, is what I'm saying, for obvious reasons.
Well, yeah, because she's passed
away. Fortunately, she passed away.
Right? Which was really tragic, yeah.
Now, Austin St. John has come back in a recent season, so could you convince him to do something like this? Possibly?
I mean, if you look at Hollywood now as well, there's been this trend of going back to the original, like they did it in Halloween, and they did it with... Terminator, where they go back to the original cast, sort of. I know Terminator not so much because it was only Linda Hamilton and Arnold Schwarzenegger, but you get what I'm saying, don't you?
Yeah, but that's like, the only two you really cared about.
Well, yeah, well, they did bring back John Connor as well, but
yeah, kind of, sort of, quickly. They kill him.
Yeah, but I'm not going to say, yes, but my point is,
from the first shot to the last, anyway,
it almost seems to be popular to kind of lean on nostalgia now, is what I was trying to get at. So it's so to do that. With this, it would make sense with what current products are doing.
I think fans would lose their proverbial shit. If
I know there are a lot of... there was an idea to do it with RoboCop, but I think it kind of fell apart because the guy who was going to do it left the project. But they were going to bring back like the original RoboCop, and it was going to be a sequel to the original. Basically, it seems to be a thing, doesn't it, to go back to the original. So they could do it with Power Rangers. I mean, the audiences are older now, so you've got that aspect going for you. And like you say, if you've got new Rangers, then I guess it just depends. But if you do that, you are going to be changing the continuity, aren't you? Because they kind of all changed Ranger costumes and powers and
right, but if you're going back, sort of stuff. Like,
but then they wouldn't be older, would they? Is what I'm getting at.
That's the issue, is that they wouldn't be, you know.
Personally, personally, I think they should
recast the whole group, but
what if the original Rangers are older in the current timeline and they send back these younger Rangers to the 90s? Ooh. And then you have different actors because they're playing younger versions of those actors.
Yeah.
What about that?
I can see that. Or heaven forbid they use the de-aging technology.
Or what if you pull a bit of a looper and you have the new Rangers, the old Rangers are like their ages now, actually travel back to train their younger selves because something went wrong in the timeline and they had to fix something.
But why would you need the other time traveling Rangers? Well, to send them back.
Because maybe if they're facing a villain in the future,
ooh, yeah,
time travels back, they'd have to go back wanting to stop him.
All right, here's what they have to do.
Everything. And then Star Trek is out then.
Consult with us, and we'll figure it out.
but yeah, we could do this all day. But yeah,
and
there are a lot of avenues and potential we could do.
I'd like to meet with the cast. Especially 3/4 of the Pink Rangers, just to have a conversation.
You know, I think an origin is out because they've done it again and it didn't really do well. Not because it was an origin, but because of whatever reason. But I think they're not going to go back and try another origin. Is what he's not Spider-Man where they need 50 origins. You know?
No, absolutely.
So many, many avenues they can go down with this one, but we'll have to see what comes out of it. And hopefully, as COVID... hopefully, fingers crossed, calms down and hopefully goes away completely. We'll get back to normal and get some news.
Yeah. But if they're in the casting phase, early casting phase, we could still hear news about that before any filming.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Yeah.
So can't do script reads on Zoom.
Right, exactly. So we'll keep you posted on the movie developments on this podcast. And if they're breaking, like, if let's say within 2 days they cast, you know, the two Red Rangers, then Steven and I will probably jump on a vidcast and talk about it. But just before we move on to the review, I'd like to mention the Boom Studios comic book again. And you're going to hear me keep doing this because they're, honest to God, guys, for all five of you listening, I can't stress how good this comic is.
Original Rangers.
Yeah.
Sorry.
maybe the cast is listening. And they're like, damn right, they should cast us. But, by the way, also, Amy Jo Johns, if you're listening, I'd still love to have your number. DM me.
Sorry,
on the demo. But anyway, before this derails any further. So I read about, five or six, I sound like Bruce Wayne, you know, when he's opening the champagne. I think
I'll be Knox for that then.
Okay, yeah. So I read about six monthly comics, right? One of them is Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, and month in and month out, it is the best comic book on my pull list. And I never, honest to God, guy, when I started reading it, I never thought I'd say that. But here
that's
we are.
That's good.
And so what they're doing is they're wrapping up, you know, their current storyline. And in November, they're wrapping up the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers title. And in November, they're launching two titles. One is called Mighty Morphin. The other is simply called Power Rangers. So if you put them together, you do the math. But so in one book, we're going to have, you know, the Mighty Morphin roster, with the exception of they're at the point in the comic where they've done the changeover. So Rocky, Adam, and Aisha, was it?
Yeah, it was, yeah.
I'm now taking over.
I hated Rocky. I just want to say that out loud. Let's not insult
let's not insult
one of our listeners. I don't even know his name. Right, look, I've got nothing against the actor.
I follow him on Instagram. Wait a minute. I'll look it up. Hold on.
The Red Ranger went from being top dog to battling for top dog to nothing.
Yeah, but unfortunately, Tommy was just so popular that.
Yeah.
That what are you going to do, right? Like, yeah. Okay, let's not insult Steve Cardenas, because I think he's a good dude. He seems like a good dude and all that.
Like I said, I've got nothing against the guy personally, just in terms of the show. It didn't work.
You were just hashtag Team Jason. I get it.
I like Jason was my favorite before Tommy, and then Tommy came along and kind of took over, but I still like Jason.
Red Ranger, Jason forever, from the first morph to the last. I get it.
It's like going from having Batman and Superman to Batman and Plastic Man. Actually, maybe not Plastic Man, because I like Plastic Man. But anyway.
No, okay, so they've done the changeover. Stop derailing my thing.
Sorry.
Tommy is the White Ranger at this point. The cool thing about the Mighty Morphin title is they're going to introduce a new Green Ranger, which I find fascinating. The other title, Power Rangers, focuses on what's known as the Omega Rangers. Now, Steven, remember that piss poor excuse about the original three going to some ridiculous peace conference.
Yeah.
Well,
I want to give up being a Power Ranger for that. I'll just say that right now.
I'm staying where I am. But if you ever wanted to know what happened to Jason, Trini, and Zach, that's the book for you.
Okay.
Have I done a good job hyping these two books up? Yeah. Anyway, people should read these books. And they start in November. It's a perfect jumping on point. And if I'm telling you the Power Rangers brand in terms of comics are the best ones I'm reading right now, that my opinion on comic books should count for like maybe a very minute thing. So take it for what it is. I like them, and I think more people should be reading it, especially if they're fans of the franchise. And that's all I got to say about that. Speaking of the franchise, why don't we go back to episode one?
Yep, Day of the Dumpster. You want me to read the synopsis?
Yeah, do it, yeah.
And this is from Netflix, just to let you know. That's where I got this from.
Oh, okay, so it's not YouTube. I'm good.
No. Rita Repulsa escapes after 10,000 years of imprisonment, determined to conquer Earth, but a team of teenagers of attitude stands in her way. Why does it have teenagers of attitude?
Okay, like, can I just touch on that as the first thing we talk about?
Yeah.
Like, I like the cast. The original cast, I enjoy them.
Yeah.
A lot. This is not a knock on them in any way, shape, or form. But if they're teenagers with attitude, then I think most parents would be pretty happy.
Yeah, and I was going to say, like, I said I'm a fan of Jason, and, you know, I quite like my straight-laced superheroes like Superman, Captain America, and I'm always for that, stoically. But Jason's got the personality of a peanut, you know what I mean? Like, he's not... There's nothing... He hasn't got a bit of attitude about him at all. He's literally the nicest guy in school. He's almost like... none of them do, actually, yeah. He's like the jock, but if he was nice. And then it's like, Billy's the nerd. The soft nerd, but you know, so he's not got any attitude. You know, they're just the nicest group of people. In fact, if anything, if you want a teenager with attitude, you should have gone for Balkan school. They had the attitude.
They're teenagers with attitude, and they're douchebags too. But
They are funny. I do think in some ways though they are like the glue that holds the show together.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. And I like their trajectory that over the years they actually become the good guys. Like they actually become
perfect. Yeah. It's quite good, yeah.
But so yeah, this idea that teenagers with attitude. Let's just forget about that because there is no attitude.
Let's face it, they used it because it sounded cool in the 90s.
Yeah, it was a good phrase.
Yeah.
I mean, if anything, they're teenagers with stereotypes because they're all... No, but like you said, Jason is the jock, you know, in physical appearance.
Yeah. He's good at all the sports and stuff like that.
Billy looks like a nerd.
And he is. Zach's the cool one.
Yeah, and he does this
dance,
breakdance thing that is called hip-hop keto, but all right, we'll go with it. It's certainly better. Listen, I'd rather fight with that fighting style than Batman's in Batman in the Dark Knight trilogy. Make of that with what you will. You know, Trini is very smart. She's also very calm and reserved, very zen, you know, and again.
Yeah.
And then Kimberly just wants to go to the mall and look pretty.
And do ballet moves or whatever.
And she does. She's great and like
gymnastics in it. She does.
And she looks great, and she's good at gymnastics and on the list, the whole nine yards. So teenagers with stereotypes, sure. Attitude, not so much.
So I have a question. So the colors they're wearing.
Yeah, red, green, red.
Yeah, yellow, so they're wearing the black, colors before they get the suits. But then something occurred to me watching the first episode. Did they get those colours because of the colours they were wearing and they were their favourite colours? Or rather than them just being, you know, you're the Red Ranger because, you know, you're the leader or whatever.
I think Zordon probably saw them wearing those outfits and said, you know what, they must like these colours, let's roll.
Well, that's what I was kind of getting at. So they, in a way, they chose the colours, not the shirt. So, like, if he'd have had turquoise on, he'd have got turquoise or if he'd have had, I don't know,
like when basically as they were basically how I imagine it is as they're getting beamed up to the or transported to the command center, Zordon is like watching them on the viewing globe and like getting a history of
well,
them.
See what
well, I mean, in between, basically, after he's watching the, you know, the certain parodies of the Justice League movie,
I was just thinking, he's just there. Aye, what are you doing, Jordan? Oh, for fun.
Well, he's
finally a team of teenagers.
He's gone to the gutter real fast. Anyway, so basically he's watching, like, he's looking at, like, basically a history of these kids.
Yeah.
And along the way, he discovers, well, they like these colors. Let's just, that'll be the colors of their superhero outfits.
Yeah, I guess, That's where I was getting at.
You know who borrowed this idea?
Go on.
Smallville, because Clark.
Jor-El, I anticipated that you liked these colors, so I went.
Well, it could have been a Power Ranger. So basically,
in fact, Red Ranger in this kind of wears flannel, so it kind of all comes back to Smallville.
Well, it wouldn't be a Smallville alum, but maybe the flannel Clark wears is maybe from the same wardrobe department.
Flannel alum.
Yeah. It's the same designer. but I just thought that it's how they have derived the colors. Plus, I mean, in real world, application, you know, those are the primary colors, right? So you're gonna,
yeah, of course, that's why
if you're trying to appeal to kids, that's the way to hook them, right? The one thing that I found fascinatingly hilarious is the astronauts who decide, there's this dumpster in the middle of, are they on the moon?
Yeah, they're on the moon, yeah.
So,
You know, in the original series, what they used, there's actually a full plot with that. Those astronauts that doesn't get used in this at all.
Okay. No, but I found it really funny that, you know, these astronauts, they see this alien dumpster.
Well, it's called Day of the Dumpster.
So right. on the moon. And their first inclination is, let's not take it back to NASA and do studies before we open it. No, we're just going to open this thing.
Yeah.
Like, are there no protocols?
Not in Power Rangers.
I guess
I guess we can get to the point is they had 20 minutes to tell the origin of the Power Rangers. No,
I'm knocking it, but I'm not knocking it in the same way. You know what I mean? It's just, if you think about it.
I'm going to knock it for something. I don't think they should have played the intro before that scene. I think they should have played the intro after that scene because you see that scene in the intro and it's almost like you almost don't need to do it then. You're almost like, well, why don't we just start and everything established?
Right. Yeah, and so the other thing too is funny is that, you know, Zordon transports them to the command center. I was going to say the fortress.
Pretty much, isn't it? That's fair.
Yeah. So he transfers to the command center and he's like, all right, you guys, you five got to defend the world from this extraterrestrial witch. And I'm going to give you the you're this, this, and this. That's why you're getting this power. And these are your Zords. But there's no background information on who Zordon is. Again, time constraints, I understand. I'm just saying, from a logical point of view, if you're trying to recruit these kids to do this, you give them zero information about who you are, why you're stuck in a tube.
Who is it? It's pretty much Star Wars, isn't it? When she's like, right, Rita's the bad guy, right? Star Wars, they tell us Darth Vader's the bad guy, but is he?
Yeah.
Is Rita actually the bad guy? He could be lying.
Yeah, but the point is, all they know is you're getting cool suits and Zords. Are you in? Like, that's what they have. That's the basis of make your decision.
Well, if they were making this like now, they'd probably have a line where when they meet Zordon, they'd probably say, "Oh, you look like that guy from Superman who's in the Chris," because he literally is Jor-El.
Yeah, exactly.
He is?
Yeah. So
I was like, called him Jordan.
I'm having bad flashbacks, man. Oh, God. Oh, Jesus. Anyway.
Going on.
So, yeah, to me, they had very limited information on, like, this could be very dangerous. Are you in or not? And this is all you have to go on. And I like how they're all like, at first they're all like, nah, I'm good, I'm out. Like, Zach is the only sensible one. Because he's like, nah, man, I'm out, no way. So they're all leaving, and they get confronted by the Putty Patrollers.
Which, when we actually saw, this is the first time they create the putties.
Yeah, and they actually give you a good explanation. Like, Finster is actually... Finster does more exposition than Zordon does. I love it.
But when they first put the putty in the whatever it is that makes them, because they basically make these like clay molds of them.
Yeah.
I was thinking they look like turds.
Yeah.
He literally puts three turds in this thing. And why does he have like three prints and it makes like 10 putties? That just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, I don't know how the technology works there, but Rita's got some math.
That's all the new putties.
Yeah. So they're confronted by the putties. They're getting overwhelmed, right? Because there's about 20 putties and five of them. And then again, never done this before. And Jason's like, well, we have these. Let's do it. And so they morph. And then they start kicking ass, which was cool. As a kid, I love that.
Well, when you're a kid, do you want to just get to the fighting dirt?
Right. And that's the silver lining that we have to judge this on. From my 9-10-year-old perspective.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
I was just like, yeah, and I can tell you exactly what I thought because I actually thought this. That Kimberly girl is hot, Now, let's get to the stuff I saw in the intro, Where are the costumes?
This wasn't the first episode I saw as a kid. I think I saw. I think the first one I ever saw was the one where. What's that guy called? Massive Mouth with Rhea.
Oh, I can't remember.
So what's to do with him and an egg anyway? That's all I can remember about it. I think that was the first one I ever saw.
I remember seeing this.
I think I saw it later. I didn't see it.
Well, you're in England. That's why you people are different. I love our English fans. Basically, Stephen's brother. How's it going there, Dan? I remember seeing it like as it happened because I remember it interrupted an episode of wrestling. And at first I was pissed off, but then I'm like, oh, what's this? Once they got into the costumes, like it's like, oh wow, this is, you know, you can see as why a kid would get swept up in all of it.
It's definitely all the kid needs is what they get. It's basically just a very much a as you A, as you B, as you C. That's your episodes.
Yeah, and once they, you know, they're taking on the putties in their costumes, the martial arts that you're seeing actually looks like being somebody who's done karate since 1994, so a year after this premiered, give or take, that's recognizable karate. Like, I can tell you that those are relatively accurate maneuvers.
Yeah.
As opposed to Batman's Tai Bo ab workout in the Dark Knight trilogy.
I think if you actually, like you say, given the culture and the country the original show is from, it makes sense that
they're at the bare minimum decent.
Yeah, it might be corny and cheesy or whatever, but they're gonna put everything into the fighting.
Yeah,
because that's their culture and they know how to deliver on that.
Yeah, and I love that seeing that formation of the Megazord for the first time was so cool.
Oh yeah, that's always a cool thing. That's the stuff I get nostalgic about, like when he puts like the crystal in the Zord as well, and that thing lights up. It just feels like it kind of makes you feel like you felt when you were a kid, and you get that nostalgic feeling in like pit your stomach and stuff. And
yeah, because I remember I gravitated towards this show because it's got a mix of, and I think this is still true to this day, it's got a little bit of Ninja Turtles. It's got some Transformers vibes.
Mm. Yeah.
And as a kid, I was like, you put those two things together, it's great. And then when they call for the Megazord's Power Sword, it's almost like He-Man meets King Arthur pulling it out of the ground, you know, pulling the sword out of the ground.
Yeah, yes, you're right. Yeah, about that.
Out of the ground. And again, I love that sword. When I saw that sword, I'm like, oh my God, I want one. The thing that made me laugh was Goldar, when he's sent down to Earth and made like really big by Rita's Viagra stick. Right. He looks visually, Goldar is awesome because he looks very menacing. And as a kid, I was scared shitless of gorillas, my monkeys. Goldar's look freaked me the hell out. But the thing that kind of, like, so you actually see the Megazord taking its licks for a little bit, right? Like, it's actually
the spark explosions.
Goldar's getting some shots in, and then all of a sudden,
I kind of like that the first villain the fight is Goldar as well.
Yeah, but then all of a sudden the Power Rangers call down for the sword. And as soon as Goldar sees the sword, all right, I'm out. And you just pick this up when you don't have the sword again.
Which, if you think about it, he it's almost like he's fought this thing before.
Yeah. But you know what I think? I kind of like that move because it does two things. It's, to use a wrestling term, both sides are put over.
Yeah.
Because Goldar looks badass because he actually got in a few... He was actually kicking some ass before the sword came down. And then the Power Rangers still look badass because we didn't get beat, right?
Yeah.
So I think it accomplishes its objective. What do you think?
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I think all the stuff you get with the actual Power Rangers in this is like you say, it's really good and it brings you back to nostalgia. Some of the harder stuff to sit through for me is the acting scenes with the actors, because especially on episode one, because they're very green at this point as well.
Yeah,
they get better.
You could tell this was most of their first acting gigs.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Something made me laugh a lot, actually. Bulk and Skull try and pick up Kimberly and Trina.
Which I can't blame them.
But what makes me laugh is this would not go down today, right? So because they say no, they try and attack the girls. You're like, you can't do that. They said no. No means no. They won't get away with that today.
You'd be in trouble, for sure, guaranteed.
But they basically played like buffoons out, like they're trying to do karate and they're absolutely terrible at it.
Here's the thing. When Jason talks, because Billy, you see him struggling. And Jason's like, "You're doing great. Don't worry about it. Even I struggle when I first..." And I'm like, "Listen, I get positive reinforcement and all that jazz. But again, having done this for 20 plus years, looking at Billy do what he was doing, he wasn't doing great. You can't sugarcoat that."
There's the old phrase, isn't it? You can't polish a turd, right? Yeah. Which, that's an horrible thing to say.
And
but...
it's like. You know, like I detest modern in the way certain things are done, in the sense of nowadays, like at karate tournaments and sports tournaments in general, kids are given a participation trophy just for showing up.
I don't agree with it.
I hate it. And Billy seems to me like the kid that would get a participation trophy.
Yeah, and what does that teach? What does that actually teach somebody? It does.
Like, to me,
you need to know the value of winning and losing, in my opinion.
Right, and yeah, look, I'm not saying demoralize the child.
No, don't be. Yeah, you can lose gracefully, and be treated with respect.
If he's in a group of four people, right, and he's not good enough to get a medal, he shouldn't get one just because the parents are upset that their kid didn't perform well enough to get a medal. The teaching point should be, and this should come from, I know I'm getting deeper than I should, but the teaching point should be, look, you tried your best, you didn't get a medal, it means that next time you have to try a little harder, and you have to practice harder. That should be the message, not let's go complain to the instructor so that my kid gets a friggin' medal. Like, to me, that stinks. So for all four of them, I think the rest of them are like, "Oh yeah, you did a great job." No, you didn't. What I would have said was, "You tried. Good effort for trying. Here's what you should do." Jason, as the instructor, should say, "Here's where you can improve."
And you
can do that in a nice way. I'm not saying you have to be
that's not saying. That's not saying you're useless, don't do it again. That's saying keep trying, but you need to do it this way.
I'm not saying pull up John Kreese, Because, even Jason is showing him how to do it. And he still does the same botch, and I'm like, okay, he didn't improve. he made the same mistake again.
So I think the lesson is probably that Jason's not a good teacher.
Basically, I'm going to teach whenever they show a karate scene, I'm going to be critiquing it as we go along in this podcast. Sorry.
Yeah. That's your background.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
So, and I haven't done it in a while, thanks to the, you know, the pandemic. So hurry up and fix yourself so I can get back to it. But anyway, so yeah, that was a little bit ridiculous. But I had a laugh watching Bulk and Skull make a fool of themselves.
And I feel like they had acted before because they're very comfortable straight away. They feel like Bulk and Skull from the off. They don't feel like they're trying to act, and then you get what I'm saying, don't you?
And in those scenes, you could tell the Austin St. John had some training in martial arts.
Yeah.
He had some.
So, do we want to rate out of five? Maybe we're rating it.
The one thing I do want to say before we.
Oh, sorry.
Regarding the acting of the core five. Of the core five, I think the three that felt the most natural from the first episode was Zach and Kimberly and Trini.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Kimberly and Trini felt like actual friends.
I was going to say that.
And Zach felt like that was just his natural persona. Like, it didn't feel like acting, you know what I mean?
Yeah, where Jason's a bit stiff and a bit...
Yeah, Jason and Billy felt at first like you could tell they were...
Billy feels like they've almost like, oh... It's almost like when you've got to eat your brother or something, you don't want to... that kind of thing, but...
But it feels like acting, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. So, yeah, shall we give it a rating out of... the Power Rangers rating out of five? So, I think it was a serviceable... pilot. It gets across what it needs to get across. It puts them, gets them in the suits quickly and all that sort of stuff. Yeah. So I'd probably give it like a 3 out of 5.
Yeah, I'll give it a 3.5.
I always got a little bit higher, Adam.
Well, not always. There was one episode we had the exact same rating on.
I'm not sure I'm going to be as kind to the next one, but
the next one.
Yeah, well, we'll get into it, aren't we? Yeah. So this one was called High Five, and Trini must overcome her fear of heights to save Billy. That is the whole synopsis. And that is pretty much what the episode is about. Now, something I wanted to bring up from the off was Billy creates these watches. If he is that smart, he would not be going to a regular high school, right? He would be getting... He'd probably be working for Microsoft already or something.
Yeah,
he's an absolute genius.
It would be like he'd be like the Sheldon Cooper of the group.
Yeah, he would. Going to high school when he's like 9 or whatever. Yeah.
But like, I get that you want to show him that. I like that they actually showed his intelligence.
Yeah.
By having him make those watches. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, the things they can do are amazing. I get the plot device of them because it's easier than... It's a way for them to communicate with, you know, Zordon.
It's like a James Bond watch, right? That's how I know.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But just that moment, I was like, my God, this is like child genius.
Yeah.
But he would be the guy who works for Bond, wouldn't he, making all the... Yeah. All the gadgets. That would be his job.
He's basically the Lucius Fox in the group.
Yeah, he is, yeah. So, you know, Bulk tries to climb the rope and it's obviously a comedy spot and he falls and the ceiling falls. I almost feel like that's something that wouldn't get away with now because you're kind of taking the mick out of somebody's weight.
Well, especially because part of the roof caves in, right?
Yeah. Which... I do think people need to lighten up a little bit, but at the same time, I do watch stuff now and think, not that it bothers me, but I think, oh my God, people would really take offense.
Yeah, you think you automatically assume what the reaction would be, you know, from Twitter, basically.
Not my reaction, but...
Yeah, but...
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it was harmless.
Oh, of course it was, yeah.
It's not like they said, ha ha, you slob, you broke that. Had you done that, then it's like, okay, that's, you know.
They are literally like the Three Stooges, but there's two of them out of the Balkan Skull, basically. That's their their job is to be do slapstick comedy and
pretty much
fall over and all that sort of stuff.
I like the idea behind this week's villain, behind Rita's monster, in the sense that, and the look was pretty cool too. Bones.
Yeah, he looked really cool. I was really impressed at that when he like took off his like arms and legs.
It kind of reminded me a little bit of, obviously not to the same degree, but
yeah,
because you know, that's a lot darker. But Sleepy Hollow, you know.
Yeah, yeah, that's where I was going with the Headless Horseman. Yeah.
Well, yeah.
So. Did they overcook him and that's why it turned out like he did? Because she said something about the thing being too high.
Yeah.
That's what confused me. Because obviously when he goes big, he's not, he doesn't look like that.
That's what it sounded like, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I kind of took it. So he was supposed to look like what he looks like when he turns big.
Yeah.
So that but, that to me says, was there some sort of issue getting the footage from, is it Japan or China? Because I always get mixed up, which.
I'm pretty sure it's Japan.
Japan. So they obviously get the footage from Japan. Now, was there some sort of mix up and they didn't get the, you know what I mean? Like I'm trying to get in my head, like what?
Yeah, because he doesn't look 100% right as he did.
Or
before.
What did they actually have a proper plot in theirs? So yeah. Why he looked different? But I don't know.
Yeah.
So the space shuttle stuff in this, which you can tell it's in Japan, not in USA.
Absolutely. Because
everyone around is Japanese.
Yeah.
It was interesting because in the original pilot for the original, I can't remember, it's called like Zoo Ranger or something, isn't it? Nathan told us last time, didn't it?
Yeah.
The Japanese version of it. The whole plot was revolving around the astronauts and she shrunk the ship or something, which... It's like they took that footage and merged it into two episodes. It was quite interesting that they did that.
Yeah, I just, to me, it looked the most notable. I think this is one of the areas where it looks the most notable. And again, it's early on in the process, so maybe they found a way to edit it better so it wouldn't look as noticeable.
I will say as well, I'm amazed that somebody's brain was able to take footage from the Japanese show and put it with, you know, put the little bits of the American stuff in to make it work. It is kind of amazing to think that somebody thought to do that.
And network executives would love it because it's relatively cheaper, right?
Yeah, literally, it's less shooting, isn't it? You've already got your footage, you just pay a fee for it and you take it.
You basically have to shoot half of an episode.
Yeah, maybe not even half in some cases.
Yeah.
Because all Rita scenes are Japanese, aren't they? And pretty much anything with the villain, because they well, they, if you notice, the only things they ever fight when they're in the normal outfits is putties. Yeah. But you see, one of the things I love was, you know, when they were creating the villain, when you saw all the moving clay like figurines, I thought that was really cleverly done. It looked good as well. It didn't look cheap.
They don't look like a turd this time.
And yeah.
I like when Rita just steps on one like it's nothing.
Yeah.
But just like even the trap, the idea of the trap that she sets to trap them in a similar time displacement like Zordon, like and so I liked it because it was a cool idea in principle, and it also gave us a little bit more background about she was the one to do it to Zordon.
Yeah.
Which we didn't get in the first episode.
Well, yeah, which maybe if they could have filmed an original and filmed everything, maybe the first episode would have been two parts. And...
Yeah. So I did like his plan.
So the putties, they were always a little bit crap, basically. Yeah, basically, like the only time they seem like we're a threat is in that first episode when they first fight them.
Yeah.
In this, they get beat by a cactus. Literally. Yeah. I was a bit like, really?
But I did like that Zordon instilled in them, you know, try, before you morph, try to solve whatever you come up against on your own first. Don't just rely.
Yeah.
Don't just rely on your you know, external aids, which is basically the morphers.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
I mean, that's a good message to to deliver and trying to sell to kids, right? That's a really good message. Also, Trini overcoming her fears, also another good message, right?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. I mean, it didn't seem that high up to me. But obviously, the film did somewhere on the where there's some rocks, basically, because that's what was available to him. What made me laugh was when the putty goes off the edge. It could have easily not, because they're so far from the edge.
Absolutely.
I bet it was fun being a putty, though. Just jumping around in MC.
Yeah, making sounds, yeah.
Yeah, just going, woo!
And you get paid,
I wonder if those putties are anyone famous. I wonder if it was like one's like Brad Pitt or something, you know?
Well, if let's put it this way, if Bryan Cranston played a couple of the monsters, or...
Well, he voiced them, didn't he, is what he did. Yeah.
So who knows who's under those suits? Maybe it was Tom Welling's uncle.
maybe it was Tom Welling.
That could have been. He might have been, what, 77? He was born in 77, I think, wasn't he?
Oh, yeah, he probably won't be old enough then, will he? What would he have been? He was older than me then.
Well, yeah, I think he would have just before. It was just before Welling's time, but.
Yeah.
Maybe his cousin, his older cousin.
Yeah. Anyway.
Jeb Welling, I don't know.
Jeb Welling. I was going to say Ralph Welling.
Yeah. Anyway.
But Billy can't. Why is Billy a Power Ranger? He can't even hold his Morpher. He drops his Morpher. I'm like, come on.
The guy can create a watch that can communicate with the command center and teleport people, but.
Do you know what should have happened, right? When Zordon beamed him in and gave him all the morphers, he shouldn't have got one. He's like, where's mine? He goes, oh, you're just tech support. That's your role.
So when they use the Megazord, the effect, I love the psychedelic looking effect that they do when they're trapped in that time dimension. That timeless dimension.
Yeah.
And, they literally get
cool.
out.
I thought it looked quite cool.
It did look cool. I'm not saying that to make fun of it. It looked pretty cool. But it's the way they got out of it was ridiculous. Basically, they just jumped out of it. I'm like, that's all it takes?
Do you know what? I think when they were writing the scripts, I think they probably just encountered some issues, and I bet they'll just like, oh, nobody will notice.
And they're like, kids won't care. No 30-plus-year-olds are going to discuss this in a podcast in 30 years. Let's just, who cares?
Do you know what did make me laugh, though, when they were in that like, realm? They were like skeleton putties. Which actually reminded me of Cobra Kai a bit in Karate Kid. Yeah. So it all comes back to Karate Kid every time.
Yeah, basically.
But I was like,
it's a spiritual sequel.
But I was thinking in my head, why have the doctor's got putties in there? Why has he got these random skeleton putties? I just didn't get it. It was just so weird. Yeah, obviously, just some guys in some.
I guess,
and they're not even like good skeleton costumes. They're like really cheap, funny bone styled.
Party City, man. That's where they got them.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
but so then, you know, when again, as when Rita uses her Viagra stick
to make things grow
and makes them grow. Basically, Jason calls on the Tyrannosaurus Zord, and that's the one that defeats Bones.
Oh, the knight.
Yeah.
Because it becomes a knight, then for some reason.
Yeah. But it is the knight, not Bones. Bones was defeated earlier.
Right. Well, I'm right in thinking Bones and the knight are supposed to be the same thing. Or am I not?
They're not. They're not. I think Rita sent down another monster, I think. After he loses.
So this Bones character, I bet they thought, well, we can't make this guy massive because there's nothing to him. we'll just throw in a random other character. It just seems so weird.
He was like the Brooklyn Brawler, like in his retirement years, where he was up there to jock to some other guy. Yeah.
It was just so weird.
Yeah.
See, what I never got about Power Rangers, right? So they all had like their own weapons. Like Red Ranger had a sword. Pink Ranger had a bow and arrow, didn't she? I think.
Yeah.
Why do they have the daggers as well? I never really thought about it when I was a kid. I used to have one of those daggers.
You mean the gun, the
light gun dagger things? Yeah.
Yeah.
You're almost like, well, why have they got that on the other? It just doesn't make any sense.
Well, you rarely see them use their actual individual weapons, right?
No, I know. It's like how they use them. Just so weird.
But I did like how the Tyrannosaurus Zord did all the main fighting here.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, yeah.
And I like the way, like, the effectiveness with which he used his tail to take out the monster.
Yeah, that was cool. Yeah.
Because as I was rewatching, I'm like, well, you know, with the way a Tyrannosaurus is built and walks and moves.
It's funny though when it goes up.
I'm like, and how the hell is he
spreads?
Like, how the hell is he going to beat this night monster? And but sure enough, with his tail, it's like, all right.
You know, it's funny when he like gets up on its tail and just spreads out. I'm like, what's that going to do? It's almost like they're saving the big... Because you said, didn't you, about on the first episode they didn't defeat Goldar with the sword. It's almost like they're saving that moment for something bigger.
Right. But I kind of like that in this case...
Oh, yeah, me too. Yeah, because it's different, isn't it?
The red Zord, you know, the one Zord and the one Ranger got a spotlight. I like that.
Yeah, yeah. No, that is cool, yeah.
But...
It's also quite funny how... you know, at the end, to get Trini to climb that rope, Zack scares her with her mask on. I was like,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then it's like really comedy. Ooh, when she goes up there. That was really weird. Oh, something else I forgot to mention. How 90s is the music in this show? Just not like, I quite like the music when they're fighting and stuff, but the music just in the random school scenes.
Yeah, or when they're at the Angel Grove Community Center.
Yeah, right? Yeah, yeah. It's so 90s. I'm just like, this is so 90s.
But
obviously, it was the 90s. Yeah. So.
In that scenario, it's a product of its time, right?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, yeah.
But
again, I think I'm going to have more fun kind of not picking them apart as such, but kind of laughing at some cheesy aspects.
That's the thing. Anybody listening, we're laughing at some of the parts, but we enjoy it. We genuinely enjoy it. We're not laughing at it in a negative way. It's just, you know,
we do this for everything. And I always say, if you're a fan of something, that gives you more of a right to take the mick out of it.
Like if I came on here and told you every episode of this series was an A+, you know, the best thing you ever seen on television. I mean, come on, I would be being disingenuous if I did.
That's
that.
Why when we rate it based on what it is, don't we? Not.
Yeah.
A 5 out of 5 of Power Rangers wouldn't necessarily be like an Oscar worthy movie or something. You know?
Yeah, of course.
Although
yeah.
I don't really like Oscar movies, so that's why I said that. But you get my drift, don't you?
No, but it's not like when we say it's a. If we ever give some of these a perfect score, and I think we will on some of them, but we're not saying it's the Dark Knight of television.
No.
You know, exactly. So I mean, that's the way the takeaway that you have to.
Yeah.
We're doing this out of a general love for the franchise while being able to laugh at some of the more ridiculous aspects of it.
And I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
No.
And we're going to have more fun doing that than if we just talked about it and reviewed it. So.
Yeah, right. But yeah, so. That's pretty much the second episode.
Yeah, it was a bit of a run of the mill one. It wasn't.
So, what would you rate this one?
I'd probably give it a 2. I didn't think it was very good. It was one of those where there's always a moment that you enjoy. Like I actually really liked that stuff in that realm. I thought it was cool on that. Like you said, the villain, the skull, like the crossbones, whatever the hell he was. That was quite cool. That was quite impressive how they managed to pull it off as well. Some of that, even though obviously it does look kind of cheap, the bones and stuff, but it's still really clever how they did it. So
yeah,
I'd go over 2.
Bones look like a cool villain. I like the timeless dimension / realm, the look of it. And I did in fact enjoy that, you know, the Tyrannosaurus Zord got to have the big hero moment at the end.
Yeah.
You know, using his tail and all that. So I'll give it a 2.5 out of 5.
I was gonna go a little bit higher, aren't you?
In this instance, yeah. What's the tagline? Stronger, higher, fast? I don't know. Whatever that Captain.
Oh, the Kanye West song. I quite like that song actually, but I like that.
No, so no, the Captain Marvel marketing. What was it?
Oh, right.
Stronger, faster, hot, whatever it was. Who the
I
hell
should
was?
Have said boring. Then I would have.
Boring, preachy, ridiculous. Yeah. That should have been. Anyway. But yeah, 2.5 out of 5 for the second episode of Mighty Morphin Power Rangers.
Yeah,
that brings this episode to a close.
Do you want me to just name the next two episodes?
Yeah, so if you're following along in our watch order, the next two episodes will be
Teamwork and Oppressing Engagement. Oh, I've just realized Oppressing Engagement is actually the first episode I saw. So there you go.
Oh, there you go. You can have all kinds of nostalgic memories. Yeah, it should be a fun time. But we hope you enjoyed this news episode / look back at the first two ever episodes of what became a pop culture phenomenon in Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. If you want to continue talking with us about Power Rangers, you can follow us on social media. So, Stephen, where can they do that?
You can do that on Twitter at SteveBob1984, and the page for the network of podcasts is at MMNPDC.
And if you want to follow me, you can on Twitter at Adam_DeeseFan, or we also have a Facebook group, which is the Multiverse Musings Podcast Network. It's the Facebook page. And go there, request admittance into the group, and myself or one of my co-hosts will add you, and we can continue talking Power Rangers there. But that brings this episode to a close. We hope you enjoyed it, and we want to remind you that the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers are forever, from the first time Bulk and Skull were embarrassed to the last. So long, everybody.
So long.